So when was your last checkup? Oh no, not you. Although that's important too, but when was your last vehicle checkup? When it comes to service, nobody knows your Chevy better than your local Chevy dealer. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com to schedule an appointment today.
Boy, you put food in the studio and all kinds of people show up. Look who just walked in. Former Major League All-Star and Chicago's very own Curtis Granderson, who you hear doing MLB games on TBS, among other things. Curtis, welcome to WGN Radio. How are you?
I'm doing well. And like you said, food. I enjoy eating, and Chicago by far is the best food city. So whenever I get a chance to be around it, you can always have me in the room.
You don't look like you've been eating a lot. You look like you could play right now.
It's all mental. You know, I just try to trick them a little bit, but I definitely enjoy when I can. And everyone's like, don't you want to go out there and play? I was like, no, I like watching it right now. I enjoy being a fan.
You played for the Tigers starting in 04, had a five-year run with them. You played for the Yankees for a few, the Mets for a few. You were in Los Angeles with the Dodgers. You played for the Jays, the Brewers, and the Marlins. You were, what's that, 15 years in the majors?
Yeah, they kept letting me come back. I was tricking them, but it was a great career. I never thought I would play that long. Even when I got drafted here out of UIC, where I played baseball at, I honestly thought I'd play for 2 or 3 years in the minor leagues, get released, and then go ahead and put my college degree to work. But they kept letting me come back, and I got a chance to have a nice career at it.
You know, it surprised me a little bit. I was looking at some of your high school statistics, and they were really good, but were these, boy, this guy's going to play 15 years in the majors good?
Not a chance at all. I was always that third or fourth best option on our team. I was a late bloomer. And here in Chicago, you know, that was the time of Michael Jordan and everybody. So I thought I was going to be this basketball superstar. But you can see how tall I am. The height just wasn't there. But baseball was one of those things that once I finally got to UIC, and that's what I got the scholarship for, it finally started to all come together. And that ended up being the path for me.
Yeah, UIC's always had a good baseball program. My son played at Butler. You guys usually waxed us. But here's your high school numbers. 369 batting average, 11 home runs, 88 RBI. Good, not major league.
Absolutely.
And then you played college and you just kept developing. I'll tell you, just based on my experience, it was frustrating when I thought the scouts need to be better predictors at talent that is yet to come.
I think it's tough because at that age, I was 165 pounds. I was about the same height. I wore a 13 shoe. So I was this big kid running out there, you know, kind of clunky, not the fastest, but I can play. I had talent. I had ability, as you can see by the numbers, but they didn't jump off the page. I wasn't an All-American. You know, I didn't have all those things. But as I started to grow into my body, I started to get a little bit stronger. And I was later developer than others. We had a kid at my school who holds the state record for home runs in a season, but he was 6'8". He was a man amongst boys at that time. So he was able to do a lot more things at that time. He played at Notre Dame, had a great career there, but it's just one of those things that I was a little bit more later down the line than some others.
One last thing about your bio, and then we'll move into why you're here today. As a child, it says, are you familiar with what I'm about to read? This is your Wikipedia page.
Hopefully it's accurate.
Granderson grew up a fan of the Atlanta Braves.
Yes.
Choosing not to root for his hometown Chicago Cubs because he often rushed home from school to watch Saved by the Bell and was disappointed when a Cubs game was on instead.
And that is accurate. The Cubs playing all those 1 o'clock day games. I'm coming home, no homework for the day, ready to watch my show. Lisa Turtle, Zach Morris, AC Slater, and the Saved by the Bell crew. And I turn on the TV and what's this game doing in the sixth, seventh inning? It's the Cubs. It's Ryan Sandberg and Andre Dawson. And I go, they need to play a 7 o'clock game like everybody else. Or the team that I'm going to start cheering for, this Atlanta Braves team that would play at 7:05 or 7:35 on the Superstation. And that's how I became a Braves fan, all because the Cubs were playing all those day games.
Let's see here. Did you play for Atlanta? You played for everybody else.
Never got a chance to play for them.
Yeah. What was the best year, best team for you? What was the experience you remember most fondly?
Starting with Detroit, they gave me the opportunity by drafting me. And soon after I started my career there in 2002, I was in a World Series in 2006. And that was just a ton of fun. And if we think back to that time, this was pre the recession in 08, but Detroit was already getting hit hard. Businesses were closing, people were losing jobs, but people always rally around sports. And we had the Pistons were good, we were good, the Red Wings were good, and that city with the big three, with the car industry, and that entire state, the only rivalry was Michigan-Michigan State, but everybody was a Detroit Tiger fan, and it was really cool to see.
How did you do in the series?
Unfortunately, we lost to St. Louis, but I got a chance to get there and thought, you know what? First year, full season, I'm going to be back there all the time. And sure enough, I didn't get a chance to get back until 2015,
oh, 2015
with the Mets.
Wow.
And lost that one too. So I've got a chance to go, but I never got that championship ring.
You have anything to say about baseball in Chicago right now?
So I've helped put together the Chicago Baseball and Educational Academy here, which we partner with the Cubs and the White Sox. Organizations that are historically just traditional, but what we tried to do at UIC is make sure that all 60 communities and partners and parks in this place get a chance to get boys and girls ages 8 to 18 onto a college campus to practice, play, and train. And when the Cubs come in for Cubs Fest and when the White Sox come in for White Sox Fest, a lot of those players come and train at the same place that I went to school, where those Division I athletes are getting themselves ready, where these young men and women are also trying to do what they can do to ultimately become maybe a future Cub or a future White Sox.
So you're describing the Chicago Baseball and Educational Academy?
Yes, the nonprofit we started in 2016. You can check us out at CBEAUIC, because that's our sponsor, .org. And we have a lot of different things going on, including our upcoming fall camp, where we just get a lot of kids in there. Again, a lot of them, their first time stepping onto a college campus is through CBEA.
Former Major League star and now TBS MLB announcer Curtis Granderson is in our studio, who still makes a home in Chicago, huh?
This is it. Born and raised. My parents are still in the south suburbs in Lynnwood, and I went to school at UIC, and I saw everything kind of develop, and I said, one day I can't wait to hopefully own a home, and hopefully it's over here, and sure enough, I'm here in Chicago. Everyone's always like, why not go to Arizona? Go to Florida. It's warm there. I was like, yeah, it's warm there, but it's also warm here in the summertime. It's really nice, and the cold's never really bothered me, and if I really need to, I'll travel to those places and enjoy a little bit, but I enjoy Chicago. Chicago's home.
You got a couple kids, a son and a daughter, 3-year-old and a 1-year-old?
Yeah, they're moving up, so that's my career after baseball. Everyone's like, you know, you could have had them earlier. I was like, I don't know if I would have been able to do it earlier. So now, not having to focus on the full 162-game regular season,
right,
plus spring training, plus
it's nice. You get to spend time with your kids.
That's it. You know, that was one of the bright spots for me with COVID, because when COVID happened, there was nothing we could do. And then all of a sudden, I got this new family I'm around. So that took a lot of my time and energy, which was, as surprising as it says, it was a good thing for me during that time.
Do either of them hit from the left side?
I don't know yet. They've been hitting me in general, but I don't know which hand it's been with. I think they're switch hitting at this point in time.
Well, that's good. I mean, that's a real talent.
That's it.
Get them to hit from both sides. Let's talk about the CBEA, Chicago Baseball and Educational Academy.
Yes.
So is that a physical structure or just something you all do and this is what you call it?
So we partner with UIC. I helped build the stadium there in 2014. So next year will be the 10-year anniversary of what we call the best view in baseball, because you have the whole skyline as our backdrop. The Cubs don't have it. The White Sox don't have it.
You know,
but we
talked about my son playing there for Butler, and that is the best. If you're at home plate looking out, you see the skyline of Chicago. It's gorgeous.
It's awesome. We truly the best view in baseball.
Yeah.
And through CBEA partnership with UIC, we get communities from all over the city to come onto the campus to play. And Chicago, unfortunately, has the knowledge of being one of the most segregated cities in the U.S. So there's a lot of times where kids on the south side aren't going to see a kid from the west side or from the north side unless it's through sport. So through CBEA, we're able to get these kids on campus. A lot of them, again, they're first time playing on a college campus, and now they're getting a chance to see someone that may not look like them all through the great game of baseball.
Yeah, I want to talk about that in a second, but so then what age are the kids that go to the CBEA?
8 to 18, and it's year-round. So we talked about the cold here in Chicago, but we also have an indoor facility, fully turfed out indoor with the batting cages. Again, this is the home for the UIC Flames, but in partnership, we're able to go ahead and utilize it for all these kids that might ultimately become a UIC Flame in the future.
How many kids are in the program in a given year?
Wow, we've had up to 10,000 kids. Most recently, we just finished our youth tournament for Chicago Youth Baseball, 12U, 14U. Over 350 boys and girls got a chance to come out there and play in a 10-day tournament. Very affordable tournament. One of the things you and I were talking about off air, just the price to continue to keep playing. You're traveling all over. The fees are through the roof. The tournaments are expensive. This tournament to play in literally one of the best settings, all turf, lights, multiple fields cost these teams $50. And if they couldn't afford it, we found a way to get them in there. We have an upcoming fall camp that we're going to charge the kids $5. We would make it free, but we just want to use it as an accountability. So that way you've paid, you sign up, you will show up. But again, if they can't afford it, we're going to go ahead and make sure we take care of it.
So do these teams come from local teams, or do they just come to the academy and you create the teams for the purpose?
We don't create the teams. We're like a house for all the teams there. And one of the challenges for a lot of these teams in the city of Chicago is we don't necessarily have the best place to play. We don't have the safest place to play. If it's the winter time, we don't have anywhere to go inside. Chicago is home of parks. A lot of other cities, they use the Boys and Girls Club and the YMCA. But here, you are a part of the Park District. Hamlin Park, Garfield Park, Gage Park, Oz Park, Washington Park. So all those parks have youth leagues, and a lot of those youth leagues use the facility, plus some other organizations such as Cubs Charities, the Chicago White Sox ACE program, and many others.
Thornton Fractional, is that where you played?
Thornton Fractional South, yes.
UIC, and then for a host of major league teams. Why are there fewer and fewer black players in Major League Baseball?
It's astonishing. I mean, right now, this opening day, we had four Major League teams without a African-American-born player on their opening day roster. The numbers are now down to just under 7%. They were at an all-time high. About
less than 7% of MLB players are African-American?
African-American-born players. So when you watch the game, you might get confused because some of the Dominican players, the Venezuelan players, the Latin players look like they're African-American, but they're not. So when we were at our all-time high, I think we were at about 18%. That was in the 70s and 80s. That number has steadily gone down. And you could attribute it to a number of different things. The cost of the leagues, like we talked about, the cost of travel ball, the cost of the equipment. But a lot of those fees start to kick in between the ages of 12 and 13. And statistically, across the U.S., a lot of kids start playing baseball through T-ball and through coach pitch. But once they get to that point where I can't just play in my house league, I have to play travel ball, I start to get myself priced out of the game, and it's definitely started to affect a lot of the black players that want to play.
And you got to take BP in the winter, too. I mean, it is a 12-month training sport.
You got to find a way to continue to keep doing it. The days of going from one sport to the next sport to the next sport has kind of changed.
So how do you combat that, then? How are you going to get kids over that hump if you're trying to develop another generation of baseball players and black baseball players?
Well, you definitely want to keep the opportunity available for them, because if a kid wants to play, the reason they shouldn't stop playing is because they can't afford it. And that's what we've been able to do with CBEA. Provide these opportunities so you can continue to keep training, continue to keep practicing, continue to have an opportunity to move forward without costing you and your family an arm and a leg.
Other than developing good baseball players, what else do you think you're affording these kids?
So we do a lot of things outside of baseball. That's where that E, that educational part of it comes from. We've done a lot of baseball education up to this point. We've done an umpire training camp. So there's a lot of ways you can be involved in the game if you aren't just athletically gifted enough to do it. Umpiring is a great career, but a lot of people don't realize that's an avenue. So we just rolled out a umpire training camp with Umps Cares. We are going to be doing training camps, coaching camps, all these different ways just to, again, provide opportunities for kids to realize, if I love the game, I can be around it. I don't have to hit the ball all the time.
These kids, 8 to 18, you're describing South Side, West Side?
And North Side.
Okay,
a little bit of everybody.
Is it specific to minorities or geographic, or is it any kid in Chicago?
More geographic. We want just if you're in the city of Chicago, you have access. Now, of course, we have stretched out a little bit there, but at the same time, if you're in the city of Chicago, we know the city of Chicago is a melting pot. But the biggest thing is a lot of times you have kids that go, okay, I've never gone to the north side. I've never gone to the south side. But if once we get on that field, especially at UIC, which is pretty much centrally located in the city, yeah, now we can get some of those kids on there to look at some of those kids and go, hey, you're not much different than me. I heard a lot of different things about you, but now seeing it and talking with you and playing with you and practicing with you, I realize you're not much different than I am.
Do you see some raw talent out there that you almost ache for? You want to see those kids have every opportunity to develop that?
You know, it's interesting. We had a young Ed Howard, you know, who was a recent draft by the Chicago Cubs. Him and I still stay in touch to this day. He sent me pictures of one of the camps he attended when he was a young player, about 10, 12 years old. He then blossomed on to be 18, and I think that's one of the great things of baseball, very similar to my story. We don't necessarily know what the future holds, but we do know if they stop playing, then there's no opportunity for them. So we want to keep them playing as long as we can.
And one last thing, Curtis Granderson. I mean, no panacea here, but isn't it true that being involved in something is what's important. It's music, it's arts, it's baseball. Better that than some of the other temptations or crime on the streets.
Both my parents were CPS teachers. My mom taught at Curie High School. My dad taught at Hale, as an elementary school by Midway Airport. And one of the things that they always strived was we knew that the student athletes were always going to be a little bit better in terms of just behavior, performance, good student, because they loved the sport or the activity that they were participating in. And they knew if I didn't do my grades or I got in trouble, then I couldn't participate in that game I've been looking forward to all week long. So if you can get a student athlete or a student to become a student athlete in whatever sport it is they like or find some activity, we know statistically those kids tend to do better. And to your point, let's get them doing something positive and productive and learning about it and understanding it. Again, that education side, you got to be able to figure it out and understand so you can go ahead and improve at it.
What's the next game you're going to do on TBS?
We have the upcoming playoffs. We have the National League Division Series. We're still waiting to see who's going to make it, but we will be covering the series October 7th on TBS. We have the National League from the Division Series and the Championship Series, and hopefully we will have a team from the North side here in the playoffs, but it's not looking good right now.
We know. 773 texted in, we love homeboy Curtis, great player and a heart of gold who gives back to the community. 708 says, so proud of Curtis. He played basketball in my driveway as a teenager with my kids in Linwood. He is such a great role model. No kidding.
Ah, thank you all.
If I want to give to this organization, be part of it, how do I help CBEA?
So CBEAUIC.org. All our information's there. We're also on social, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. You can check us out to see everything that we have going on and just come out and continue to support, see these kids out there. You know, it's always great when you have fans in the stands, and we have some really good stands. You can watch the kids out there playing. And of course, again, take on the best view in all of baseball at UIC through CBEA.
How nice it is to have the Chicago Baseball and Educational Academy right here in our city. Curtis Granderson, who continues to make his home here. Thanks for coming by.
Thanks for having me.